So Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word once again today, and we just pray you bless as we look into it. Help us as we seek to have our hearts focused on you during this Christmas season, that you would just show us just another facet of yourself that we may appreciate and love you all the more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So through this Christmas season, we want to focus our minds on the Christ of Christmas and meditate on different aspects of Christ that will lead us to honor him and to worship him this season. And so last week we considered Christ being the Son of God, of how he was God come in the flesh, that he came down not to pour out his wrath as we all deserved as sinners, but instead to bring us help, to bring us deliverance, that he came down to free us from the bondage of our sins. For today, however, we want to consider which we could say in some ways would be the flip side of that, as we consider Christ the child. We think of what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, where he says, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And both portions of that statement have great significance, a significance we don't want to overlook. In Christ, the Son of the Most High God was given to us, and we rejoice in that truth. But as well, we can rejoice in the thought that unto us a child was born. Because when you think about it, it is amazing in and of itself that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come to earth. But what is equally amazing is the way and the form in which he came to earth. Because nowadays we have so much in comic books and in various movies about superheroes, about various individuals that have these special powers that come to save us mere mortals from various diabolical and strangely dressed villains. Often we see the arrival of these superheroes depicted as them falling or flying down from the sky, and when they land, the pavement cracks underneath them, but they emerge from this cloud of dust unharmed. And we recognize today that superheroes such as Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, that these have a tremendous following, not only among children, but actually amongst a lot of adults too, that kind of grew up with them and maybe haven't exactly grown out of them. But we realize with that, it's kind of sad in a way that they have such a following, because all those different superheroes aren't real. They're just fictitious characters that someone has made stories about and has merchandised to the hilt. But unlike them, Jesus is the real deal. That his superpowers far exceed anything any make-believe comic book hero has ever claimed to have. Because we think he is the one who by his own hands created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who is able to calm the storm. He was the one who was able to cast out devils and heal the dead, to bring the dead back to life again. And since he was the Son of the one true God, we think about it, that he had all these powers all these abilities that he could have chosen when he came down to put on a fancy suit and cape and come flying down to earth yelling, "Here I come to save the day," and land leaving a great crater around him. And boy, that would have been something if he would have done that. Everybody would have been just in awe of him and recognized him as being the one who he was. And if we were in his position, that's probably what we would want to do. But yet we find that God's ways are not our ways. He did things entirely differently than we would expect. And in the first chapter of Revelation, John the Apostle has a vision of Christ in heaven. Beginning in verse 10 of Revelation 1, we read these words. It says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." And in this passage, we recognize this to be Jesus, the Son of God, in all his glory, as who he is in all of his, really his fullness. And when he comes again, we recognize this is in many ways how he's going to appear, as we see the description later on in Revelation chapter 19. But you think about it, when he first came to earth, he could have come looking like this, is what is described in Revelation. And had he done so, the response of people as he came down to earth would have been probably the same as John's was. They would have prostrated themselves in fear and awe of this one who by his very presence showed his holiness, showed his power and his glory. But yet, in what way and in what form did Jesus choose to come to this earth? He chose to come as a helpless, vulnerable baby. And let's consider that for a moment, that one who, as God, provides sustenance and nourishment for all his creation, for people and for animals and for plants alike, that we really recognize of just in terms of how God has created this world and created it to be sustaining so much life, that now he changes things around, so he now has to rely on his earthly mother for sustenance and nourishment. That this is one who is all powerful, that there's no limit to his strength, but now he's choosing to place himself in a situation in which he needs a father to protect him from those who would seek to do him harm. We see this in Matthew chapter 2, that after the wise men came and visited them, we see in verse 13 of Matthew 2, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And it wasn't until Herod was dead that the angel of the Lord came back and said in verse 20, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And so this is one who, as God in many ways, would have had the strength, if he came in all his strength, to look after himself and to defend anyone else from harm. But yet he's the one that now has to rely upon his foster father, Joseph, to give him protection and keep him in a place of safety from Herod, who seeks his life. And so we think of that as well, that this is one who never slumbers or sleeps, that is always vigilant and watching over us, that now he's become a babe that has to rest and has to have someone watch over him. That we think of one who is all-knowing, that he has to start at the very beginning, where he has to learn to roll over, to crawl, to walk, to talk, that he had to go to school and he had to learn and study like everyone else. That one to whom every knee should bow, that he chose to be subject to the authority of his parents throughout his youth. And so we would ask, well, why would someone that is so great and so mighty and so worthy of our worship and adoration humble himself to such an extent? Because really, even the family that he chose to be born into was one of the poorest. And they didn't live in any major center. They didn't live in the great city of Jerusalem. They were out in Galilee, what we would recognize as being kind of the boondocks, kind of the middle of nowhere, where nobody wanted to be there. And if you were from there, that everyone would look down upon you as a result. But with all of that, we ask, why would he come as a child? Why did he, who was so much greater than all of us, become us? Because he could have come as anyone he wanted, in any form that he wanted. We see that he could have come in the form of an angel. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16, it makes this statement of Jesus. It says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." And that he was made a little lower than the angels. That we understand that. And so why did he choose to come as a child, as a babe? Why did he choose to make himself vulnerable, to be able to suffer pain and fatigue and everything else? And as we look in the scriptures, we can recognize several reasons why Christ came to us as a child. First, we recognize that he came as a child so that we would come to him for the right reasons. We see in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. It says these words. It says, "For he shall," speaking of Jesus, prophetically of course, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And you think about it, nowadays, so many people, when they make decisions of what to pursue or who to follow, they always seem to choose style over substance in terms of whom they follow, in terms of who they desire to be like, even whom they elect to government. They want someone that is handsome and articulate with great hair and a charismatic personality, and they're entirely focused on the outward appearance, the superficial. And really thinking about that, Jesus, knowing our tendencies, he could have pandered to that demographic. He could have come as some superman that was just more handsome than anyone else and richer than anyone else and having more prestige and everything else. But if people would have been following because of those things, they would have been coming to him for the wrong things, for the wrong reasons. And we even see that through his ministry, that there were people that started to follow him, that he actually would confront them and say, "Why are you seeking me?" And he said to some, "You're not seeking me even because of the miracles that I've done, because you ate the loaves and you're filled. You want another free meal from me, and that's the whole reason you're seeking me." And in many ways, we see this tendency of ours to choose style over substance is a flaw in our character that Jesus wants to expose and correct. because it makes us susceptible to being duped by the devil and the many counterfeits that he places in our paths. That we don't want to judge according to appearance. Appearances can be deceiving. We want to judge righteous judgment. And so he came without fanfare. He came in weakness, without beauty or comeliness or any other thing that would draw men to him for the wrong reason, because they needed to come to him simply because of who he was. And we want to realize that through coming in simplicity and humility, he's teaching us all a lesson that we need to learn, and the sooner the better. That we need to judge not based on appearance alone, but on true substance. And how sad it is that so many people chase after whatever or whoever is shiny or charismatic, often to their own destruction. And yet, this one who is the altogether lovely one, this one who in him they can find everything that they ever sought for and desired, that they pass over Jesus, and they even mock and scorn all that's taught about him because it isn't flashy, it doesn't seem to attract them. Where instead, if they really recognize for what it was, they would realize how much they would need the Lord Jesus in their life. And so that is one thought. But secondly, we recognize Christ came as a child in order to identify with us in our struggles and to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He could have come to his earth in his power and his might and gone through his time on earth without going through any difficulty or suffering. He could have lived a life when he was above all of the struggles of man. He could have avoided the whole time of childhood and adolescence and just kind of entered this world right at the beginning of when he wanted to have his ministry. But yet he went through all of that. And it's so that he would be familiar with our struggles, that he would feel pain and hurt and disappointment and discouragement just like we do. That from childhood onward, that everything that we have faced, he faced. And you think about that. He went through poverty growing up. He experienced rejection. He experienced betrayal. He experienced abandonment. He experienced injustice. He experienced verbal and physical abuse, even torture. And he could have chosen to stay above all of that, but instead he plunged himself into the midst of all of that. He became a child so that he could go through it and all, so that he would have a first-hand knowledge of our struggles, and so he would be moved with compassion for us as we struggle. That he wouldn't just say, oh, well, what's the matter with you? Why are you having these difficulties? He knows what it feels like, and so he wants to help us. We see this in Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 17 and 18 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So we think of that, that Jesus serves now as our great high priest, and he is a merciful and a faithful high priest for us. And the priest is the one that speaks to God on man's behalf. That when man has committed wrong, that he stands in the way between him and God to make things right. He's an intermediary. And if you want someone that's a spokesman, that's going to plead our case to God the Father when we have sinned, when we have done wrong, we want someone that is merciful and compassionate. And he's gone through all the things we've gone through. And he knows our struggle. And that's why he's through that, he's qualified himself to become our true advocate. And it's the thought that he suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Succor meaning to run to the aid of. And that's the ministry that he has, that when we're struggling, he's not turning his back on us. He actually wants to be there to help us and to be our guide and our strength in those difficult times. And he does that because he's been through that the same as we have. And so we want to rejoice in that truth, that he runs to help us when we're tempted and tried, because he was tempted and tried in the same way. We read in Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, "Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That when we struggle, he's not indifferent, he's touched by it. And he wants to help us. He wants us to come to him to get mercy, that when we struggle and we fail, that we can find forgiveness. But then as well, grace to help in time of need, so that when we go through it again, that the next time we can have victory by his strength. And so we understand that. He came, secondly, as a child, so that he could identify with us in our struggles. But thirdly, we realize he came as a child to provide us an example to follow. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That our tendency is always to exalt ourselves. We want to get noticed. We want to get praised. We want to seek our own glory, our own promotion. We want to lift ourselves up. And that is always our focus. But God wants us to understand that's not his way. That's not what he wants us to do. That God wants us to understand that the way for us to go up is to first go down. And that's what Jesus did. That he was in his glory in heaven. He was equal with God the Father. And we find that he came down from that. That he set aside. And really this passage speaks of just his emptying of himself. That he set aside his glory. He set aside much of his power and his knowledge, and became a man like you or I, where he could suffer pain, he could suffer fatigue, he could deal with these different things. And all this time, we find just kind of a descent downward, that he became a servant, he humbled himself, he became obedient even to the point of death, to the shame of the cross, and enduring that. And it's because of that that now he is highly exalted and has a name that is above every name. And it's a picture to us. He's trying to show us that this is what we're to do. If we are willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to become servants for others, if we're willing to be obedient to God, no matter what it costs us, that as we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, he exalts us in due time. That is the life that we are to live. And Christ, by coming down to the earth as a child, gives us a clear illustration of this whole principle. And the mindset that Christ had in doing that needs also to become our mindset. But finally, and most importantly, Christ came as a child in weakness and in vulnerability, so that he could suffer and die to save us. We read in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That he was made lower than the angels so that he could suffer death. That he needed to give his life in payment for our sins. So he took on a form that would make that possible. We read further in verses 14 and 15. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That his was a much greater mission than that of any comic book superhero. Usually they always have some supervillain comes on the scene and threatens to destroy the city and everyone in it, and the superhero basically saves these different people, prevents these buildings from falling down, and then is able to defeat this villain. And then, of course, the next comic book issue comes out, and there's another new villain doing the same thing that he has to try to save people from again. But we recognize that's just kind of a day-to-day saving people from harm. And we realize with the Lord Jesus, his goal and his focus was so much more than that. It was to save us from hell, to save us from the penalty of sin that we'd have to endure for eternity because of our sinfulness. That he came, that he took part of the same, he became a child, became a man like you or I, so that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. That he was saving the world from the devil himself, from the power of death itself. And a power that had been over this whole world ever since Adam and Eve first fell. And so by his death, he was able to destroy him that had the power of death, the devil. And we can recognize that the devil is now a defeated foe because of what the Lord Jesus did. By dying for our sins, he secured victory over sin and death for us, so that neither of us need to have a hold over us or a power upon us. That we need not to fear death, that we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because thanks be to God, because Jesus has given us the victory by his death and his resurrection. And all this was made possible because he chose to come as a child, as a babe in Bethlehem. And for that, we rejoice anew this Christmas season. And it's interesting to note, as we conclude today, that Jesus came to us as a child, and having died for us and paid the penalty for our sin, he now calls each of us to come to him as little children. We read this in Mark chapter 10. In verse 13, it says, they brought in young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said to them, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And so you really think about that, and as we try to meditate upon that, that he came as a child and he to us, and now he wants all men to come to him as little children. That if we don't, that we will not enter it in. That the coming of God's kingdom was heralded by the coming of the Christ child. And it's fitting as well that to enter that kingdom, we need to receive it as a little child. That we receive it in simplicity, in faith, in weakness, where we're not saying, oh, I can be good enough, I can do enough good things to save myself so that I'll be accepted. That no, we realize he did this for me, I needed his payment of my sins, and I trust him in childlike faith, I accept what he has done, and I rest upon his finished work on the cross. That we, when we do that, we come to him as little children, just looking up in faith, looking to Him as the one that we need, that then we enter into His kingdom and rejoice in that. And so may all of us come to Him as He came to us, that we may rejoice in all the blessings of His great salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for the Son that You sent to us. We thank You that He came as a child in humility and in weakness, Lord, just to teach us so many things, to help us to have an example to follow, to have one that would understand our struggles even when we're young. And Lord, as well, we just thank You that He came to suffer death so that we could be delivered from the power of sin and of death. And Lord, we just pray You would help us, Lord, to just always value what He did for us and always seek to follow Him and learn from Him and bring honor and glory to His name. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 92, O Little Town of Bethlehem.